Okay, started the recording.
Okay, welcome everybody to the February 19th meeting of the Diversity, Civility, and Inclusion Working Group. We're going to jump right into the agenda. We've got a few things to talk about. We're going to talk about the survey, what we're going to do, a global forum. There's a note on the mailing list about adopting JIRA. And then I wanted to have us plan out some big milestones or other things we want to accomplish in 2020. And I think that'll also help us make more of these meetings because we'll kind of see the same destinations that we're headed towards. So starting at the top with the survey, as Elisa was just saying before we started the recording, the results are interesting. I am a little concerned on the size of the results, though.
Yeah, I think we need to do another push.
Does anybody remember how many voters we had that actually voted during the TSC election?
I thought it was around 200, right? We said 600 was kind of what was the number of votes that went out, and I think we got about 30%, one-third, sorry, not 30%.
Okay. So we're at about half that response rate. So I don't know.
I actually think that's really good. Clearly, we'd love to get 100% or, you know, get into the 60s or upper, like two-thirds at least. But I think that's pretty good. I think we should do another push. Do people have other thoughts? I think we should just do another mailing and make sure that, you know, we get this to float this to the top of people's boxes.
Sure, we could do one more push. Like, hey, this is the last week for the survey.
Yeah. Why don't we push it? Let's push it out on Twitter too. I'll talk to Jessica.
Were we targeting this to a certain group?
So initially I wanted to keep it a small blast so that we did just get the contributors, because It felt like we got people that aren't really affiliated with the community tainting the numbers. That wouldn't be productive.
But can't we, if you follow Hyperledger and we position it as, you are, hey, XYZ, don't forget. I mean, I'm happy to just do this internally. Sometimes when you think about what rises to the top and what you follow, just a thought. If you guys would prefer we don't, that's fine too.
I don't have a strong opinion here. We did a fairly limited mailing. We got kind of a limited result. So I'm game for expanding it, just so long as we make it clear that we're after the contributors and we're not after just people that like to read blockchain blogs.
Is there a firewall? I can't tell because I have SurveyMonkey. Is there a firewall to get in there? Do you know? Actually, don't worry about this, guys. I'll figure out a way to do another blast and with this in mind.
Okay.
I need to catch up with, I had a call with Jessica earlier. I need to follow up with them on just some of the logistics for what we're planning for the opening workshop session or the opening happy hour. Anyway. Okay.
So I guess whether we get more responses or not, we've got some data to work with. And so we should start talking about how we try to draw some conclusions out of this.
Yeah. So I'm going to pull this down. And have Layla Yosef, who's the researcher on our team, kind of combine, look at the entire landscape of the data that we've collected.
Great. Okay, that would be a big help. Do you think that individual will be able to take a look? See, we'll be in global forum in 2 weeks, so we won't be meeting online anyway. So maybe 2 weeks after that, so that gives them a month.
Definitely. We're really anxious to get this across the finish line. So, yeah, I'll touch base with her today and I'll send you guys just a follow-up note on timing.
Great. And Tracy and Swetha, I know at one point we talked about you guys wanted to be able to use this data in your presentation. Is that still something you're planning to do?
We actually just put in a slide trying to push people to take the survey because we were getting such a low response rate when we made the slides.
Oh, great. I think that sounds like a good idea.
Yeah. So if, obviously we're going to present at the Global Forum, but it sounds like maybe also at the Linux Foundation Member Summit as well. I don't know if that's necessarily the group that we want, but we are going to be talking about this as well.
Is that in June?
It's like the week after Global Forum.
Oh, okay. So not that one. Some other Linux Foundation thing in June that I wasn't sure if I was going to make it at. Okay, so maybe enough on the survey then, and we can jump into the Global Forum items, or does anybody have any other reactions to the survey?
No, I think the final stretch is let's just do one more push. I do think, obviously, that with everything that we're trying to drive at Hyperledger Global Forum, that you collecting anything that we may have missed. But remember, I think this is a baseline. So we can collect this data and then, you know, survey again, because, you know, the point is we want to understand where we're starting and the impact that we're having.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So next thing would be for the Global Forum, the DCI talk. So Tracy and Swetha, do you want to give us a preview of coming attractions?
Yeah. Tracy, you want me to share my screen?
Either that or I can, either way.
I can do it.
Okay.
I have it open. I don't know if it's easier or worse that this way, actually, but you let me know when you want me to go to the next slide.
Well, I mean, I don't know that we'll go through all of them in great detail, but I think, you know, maybe just obviously we intro ourselves, and then we talk about why we're here, this idea that Hyperledger is welcoming everyone. It doesn't matter where you are, who you are, you know, we want you to be involved in the community. And then we kind of explain on the next slide, like, what inclusive is, right? Giving some definitions here for inclusive, meaning including everyone, what it means to include, and then why inclusion is so important. It really, because it's how people stay involved, right? They don't stay involved unless they feel empowered, engaged, and included. And I think it's really important that it's all three of those, right? Somebody can feel very empowered and engaged, but if they don't feel included in the conversations that are happening and, you know, what other people are doing, then, you know, being empowered and engaged doesn't really give you anything. Right. And it's the reason that people leave is, I mean, part of the reason that people become involved in communities is really, you know, to have a sense of belonging and a sense of being included in what's going on. And so that's basically why we're doing this talk, is to, you know, help people understand the different ways that people will feel welcomed in the community, feel included in the community. And so I think the next section is really just jumping straight in, right? And how we make people feel welcome. And we're basically, throughout the slides, we're giving a number of tips, right? So our idea here is that We're going to do a bit of a survey on our own in the talk itself, right, where we're going to get some results back about how people first became involved in the Hyperledger community. So obviously, if we there's like a number of different ways that we present, and then based on that interaction, how did that influence the person's desire to continue to be involved? Right? Did it help them want to stay involved? Did it hurt and kind of wanting to stay involved, or did it really have no sort of impact for them? So hopefully we'll get some interesting results coming out of these two surveys that we have. So the rest of this section is really just the tips for making people feel welcome. It starts with the documentation. Obviously, people, when they join a new project, the first thing that they go do is they, you know, look at the contributing guide. They read the documentation to see if they can answer the questions that they have. And if there's holes in the documentation, then, you know, the person either decides that they want to continue to dig or they leave. And so prioritizing those documentation tasks is really important. And making sure that you're keeping that documentation up to date. There's actually a number of places that I have recently discovered where certain links are out of date in the documentation. So I click on the link and it goes nowhere, which obviously doesn't help me to answer the question that I want to have answered. And as maintainers and contributors to these projects, it behooves us to actually keep the documentation up to date. Without keeping the documentation up to date, people ask questions, which takes you away from coding. You know, documentation is something we don't like, but it also helps us in the long term. So then obviously tutorials and that sort of thing are important as well. So obviously I'll talk through this a lot more in at the conference, but these are kind of some of the tips. Obviously, you know, if you put your question out there into the ether and it never comes back and get answered, you know, it's very possible you're going to go someplace else. You're going to look for another solution that will have the sort of support that you need and the sort of, you know, inclusion, if you will, that says that everybody's questions are important. So this is obviously a big piece as well. Next is different users, right? So as users come in, there's people who, I think we had to click four times through this, right?
Yes.
people who want to just understand what the project is and does, right? So that very high level, right? In that hot air balloon, they're looking for that overview of the project. There's people who want to actually use the project, and those people are going to have a different sort of a journey for getting involved, right? So they're actually, you know, how do I install it? And then once I start having questions, what sort of questions would I have and how do I get those questions answered? There's people who want to contribute new features. Those are, you know, brand new things that are going to be added and they need to know how to do that. And that journey is going to be very different than the person who at a high level just wants to understand the project. And then obviously the people who want to fix the bugs, be them tiny or large, and having a way to make sure that there's you know, documentation that helps that person understand that, as well as I think for a lot of these mentors, right, people who are willing to answer the questions of helping somebody through that first contribution and that sort of thing.
So when you talk through that part, mm-hmm. Who are you speaking to? The people that are potentially being excluded or not feeling very inclusive, or people that may be not as welcoming as they could be?
I guess I'm talking to the people who will help others get involved in the project. So, you know, it could be via documentation, it could be via actually answering questions on the chat channels, it could be helping somebody through that first pull request or that first bug that they're trying to fix, right? So, I mean, I think what's important here is that we realize that there are a number of different sorts of people who are going to be interested in the open source projects within Hyperledger. And each of those people will approach the project in a different way, right? They'll be looking for different sorts of information. They'll be asking different sorts of questions. And so thinking about all of these different audiences as you're developing materials and even writing code, right? It's important. And so I think that's who we're talking to here.
So, and that's awesome. So I think just a suggestion, and I know we're just doing a brief overview, but because the messaging, right, is that, you know, that everybody's welcome, I would just try to be clear on who are we speaking to, even, and we might be taking both sides, right, on a particular topic. Just be clear on who you're speaking to and what you're asking them to do.
Yep.
Yeah, and on the previous slide, you might even be able to characterize that for the new people, or as something that they can do. So, the project should be responsive, but, you know, one of the first ways you can contribute is helping somebody else, even if you don't know how to fix that thing. Like, that act of trying to figure it out is going to be educational for yourself.
Yeah, that's a good point, Dan. And I also think that on this one, right, it's also, it behooves the person who's asking the question to ask it in a way that the people who are going to answer know what you've done already, right? I've seen so many questions that are very vague. It's like, what do you want? I don't know what you want, so it's too hard for me to figure out. I'm going to move on to the next one. That's an easy, I know exactly what they're asking me, right? And so I think somewhere in the appendix, we have this link to like asking good questions.
Oh, cool.
And I think that's key, right? I don't know how many times I'm like, I don't even know what you're asking.
That's even a question. That's great. Like, to give something that prescriptive is such a good idea.
Yeah, that sounds good. Mm-hmm.
I will also say Tracy's at a disadvantage because we don't have the speaker notes available for her.
Oh, that's okay.
But we do have a stuff.
This is all off the top of my head. So, obviously we put the slides together. We put speaker notes together. But, yeah, the rest of this is just I haven't practiced yet, guys. So
yeah,
you're getting truly the preview.
I know. We're so annoying.
It's all good. This feedback is good. I'll probably forget half of it during the actual talk. But it's good to be thinking about these sorts of things.
Okay. I'll go to the next one.
Yeah. So participation in community meetings. So when I first joined Hyperledger, I joined an architecture working group, and I probably shouldn't say this, but I will say it. I joined this call as an architect, expecting that, I was going to be welcomed, and I didn't really feel welcome. I didn't feel like my expertise was understood, or that the people in the working group actually cared. I guess the only reason I ended up staying involved was, one, I was working for Hyperledger, and two, this was an area that was really interesting to me and I really wanted to get involved. And so, making sure that as new people come into these meetings, right, as they start to ask questions, or even as they're just sitting there listening, I think it's important to recognize that these people have picked up the phone or clicked on Zoom link and actually dialed in to this meeting, and because there's a reason for that, right? They're interested in it. They want to know what's going on. Maybe they want to get involved in it. I think, I've seen the indie working groups, right? They, every time I join, which is, infrequently, but every time I join, hey, welcome Tracy, right? And it's not just welcome Tracy, because I know you, Tracy. It's welcome, Tracy. Welcome, John. Welcome, Jane. It's welcome to whoever these people are that are joining. And that's how the call starts. And it makes you feel like, oh, hey, I want to be involved in this. Right? And I think it's very important that as working group chairs, as people in the community, who are joining these calls, that we're taking the time to recognize it, that somebody's taking time out of their day to participate.
You know, sorry, and I don't mean to interrupt your flow.
That's okay. No, there's still flow here. That's
a good point. And I actually think, there's research that supports the idea of welcoming somebody by name. I'll find it if I can. I think that there's a statistical relevance to when you say somebody's name, what that does to their level of engagement. Because I always love throwing stats out there.
Yeah, no, I mean, it does. It makes people feel important, right? That they've been
significantly
called out
and, though. Yeah. That's such a great point.
Yeah, I guess maybe I'll have a hard time not actually calling out the architecture working group and actually calling out the indie. But how would you guys recommend I deal with that, right? Because this is my story, and I think it's important that people recognize that, you know, somebody who is very deeply involved in the community has these very two different experiences with the community.
I think that that's such a powerful message, personally. I think the fact that you're basically, it's the whole impetus to me behind the two of you delivering this talk, that you're sharing your personal journey because you're going to resonate with other people in the room. And that by definition is inclusive, right? That you know, we're not sitting up here saying that everything is awesome every day. It's, you know what, we've got some work to do to make this, you know, to make this as good as it can be, even though it will never be perfection. That's not a realistic goal for us to strive for. You're going to tell them some of the things that's what we're teeing up at the happy hour too, which is small steps mean everything. Awareness means everything. Am I adding any value here? Because I swear, like I'm banging on, like that's enough.
No, I mean, that's good. I mean, I feel like in order to do well at presentations, you really do have to bring in the personal. And I just, you know, I'm fine with the personal. I just don't want to call anybody out.
And I think I don't think you are. I mean, because I think it's one thing to say, well, this one is terrible versus, I mean, we have these positioning statements all the time on how we change things to align to Accenture's brand. We never go to the negative. That's just a framing exercise. You can say the same thing in a positive way. Yeah. Does that make any sense? Pointing to something that could be better isn't saying it's terrible.
Sure,
that's true. I think it's okay for you to say the names, but if you're uncomfortable saying the architecture working group, I think no one's going to fault you if you say, I don't want to call them out here, but I will say, you know, one of the first working groups I think you can do it that way.
Cool.
To the next slide.
So this is just using the tools that we have to provide additional links to people, right? So within our chat, there are these information and different places where you can include, you know, links to useful resources, to FAQs, places that people can go look before they actually ask that question. And then other people who are in that chat who might be able to help. Right, who are experts in the area. Like for this particular one, it would be Sweta, right?
Yes. Granted, I did not put my name in there, so. Anything else before I move on to the next one?
Okay. Nope.
Cool. So, you know, the first part is all about kind of just actions that we can take as a community to make newcomers feel more welcome. A big part of this community is also being open to contributions. So these kind of, the next set of slides is focused on that process. So again, like a quick little polling, we want to just find out what have they contributed to, what they have they participated in, to get just a gauge and see what we learn from just our in-person group. And then going back, so again, documentation, we're going to say it even probably a couple more times, but it's very important about documenting now the process. So before we were talking purely about the project, now we want to make sure it's very clear for people, how did they contribute? What are the different types of contributions? Tracy kind of mentioned those different aspects of why people might be joining. And then there are also people who have come in who want to make a very big commitment to these projects. We should make sure that the path for them to become a maintainer or a leader is clear to them so they can do it. The other thing is make it easy for developers to get started. I have noticed there have been a few projects out there where, actually the one that I'm working on right now, it's a Hyperledger Labs project. I came in and it was all Linux based, all of the environment stuff and everything. I came in with the Mac and I spent a lot of time trying to change some of the processes and add scripts and things like that to create that developer environment. But it took a lot of time and it made it really hard for me to get started. So, you know, those are kind of things that people need to, or when you're a leader of this project or the community, you kind of have to keep that in mind when you have your code. It's not just about the source code, it's how do you make it so that people can develop and make it better. So having those processes, those scripts, tutorials, this is kind of the type of stuff that you need. This one, architect, design, and develop transparently. This is one that I am very passionate about. This is my second open source project, and I will say that I have seen it done badly in Hyperledger. I've also seen it done badly in others. But essentially, what I notice people do is you're not usually the only one from your company working on a specific feature or a specific component. And there's a lot of backroom discussions that happen in internal chats. There is docs that have proposals and everything that are private and things like that. And what it does is it alienates part of a community, you know. And they're not involved in the decision making. They feel like they don't have power, and they don't get a say. And honestly, when you're on the other side of that, you don't want to work on this project anymore. So, you know, hold discussions online. You know, put everything publicly. There's so many Hyperledger resources out there, the wiki, the mailing list. Some things that actually I like the ideas that I've heard from here in the DCI working group is do things like don't make decisions that are not publicly seen. You know, don't do it on a phone call. Don't do it where people can't attend. Make sure that everyone has a chance to see before decisions are actually made. And doing that publicly will help a lot. And it also gets more ideas, which is kind of what we all want. This thing, the being an inclusive maintainer, a lot of us, when we work on maintainer, and I will say, you know, this is also something that I am guilty of, sometimes doing the reviews and taking the time to work through someone else's commit or PR and making it through, it kind of starts to drop down in my list of priorities. And problem is, with that approach, the only code that will ever you'll ever work or to get in is your own. But if you think about it, it in the end becomes like a bottleneck because everyone's concerned about their own code and no one's reviewing and no one's helping each other out. So be inclusive, prioritize reviews. Tracy already mentioned it earlier, but invest in these people who are submitting their code to you. It's important that you take the time to teach them how to do things right, and you know, be patient with them, because in the end, if they become a maintainer or they take on bigger chunks of work, your workload goes down. So in the long run, this is actually a very good thing for you. So invest in them. And then the other thing is there's always these situations where people submit code or PRs for stuff that is not in the roadmap, that you know doesn't agree with some technical decisions that have been made. Be clear and be polite. don't waste each other's times by trying to, you know, go around a beat around the bush. Just be very clear that this is not something we can accept and have a discussion if it has to be, if there is a discussion. But it's better than kind of leading them on saying, oh, we'll think about it. The next thing is, you know, providing timely reuse and merging. This kind of goes back to what Tracy was talking about. Don't give that much time between somebody asking a question and then someone responding. Similarly, when you're doing reviews and merges, you want to be quick with the feedback. And I always say this, if you can't get to it immediately, you can say that. I don't think there's anything wrong with saying, I need more time. I will get back to you. And whether that's the maintainer or the person who's contributing the PR, if, you know, priorities change, something happens and you don't have the bandwidth to take care of something, letting the other person know is important. So that way they also know, okay, we need to give them a little more time. The other thing, especially for people who are new, we want you to, you know, create and maintain good issues. So in whether in Jira or GitHub, there are the labels, the good first issue. I think most of the projects have adopted it. It's great if you can tag those issues because there are always small tasks that are around and people can come in, pick it up. The number of times people have come and asked me about Fabric, they just say, how do I get started? What's the first issue that I should look up? And this is usually the recommendation I give. And it gets really hard if there aren't that many issues out there. So for those who are maintainers and creating issues, think about that when you're creating list issues. And then the next is kind of turning the tables over to the audience to try to get what they have, if they have any tips. Then we have our little DCI info, how they can get involved, and then a link to our actual DCI survey. I think that's it.
That's great. Yeah, how long is the talk?
I think we get 40 minutes.
Yep. Good. Yeah. Cool.
Great. So, you know, one thing I wanted, besides the ability to get feedback for you guys, is also to think about how we can get more butts in chairs for your talk. So Lisa, you've had good ideas about how to do more outreach. I don't know if anything comes to mind for you so we can get the best attendance possible for this talk.
Yeah, so I think Swetha and Tracy, you probably got stuff from Hyperledger with your tiles, right, for social?
Mm-hmm.
So our strategy from an Accenture's point of view was we were promoting the conference first, and now we wanted to get to the February 18th deadline and then start pushing specifically some of the things that that we have going on. So we'll be pushing more, butts and seats social, but it's also, what are we doing when we're on the ground to make sure that people are aware? So clearly at the opening happy hour, at the diversity happy hour, we will feature this talk. Part of Dave's keynote actually refers to, because he's speaking about, you know, kind of the next phase of multi-party systems outlining then what are some of the things that have to line up for this to happen, and diversity and inclusion is a big part of it. So one of the slides in his deck has that schedule, like where to find more info on some of these specifics. And I think we've got printed postcards that will have and I'm sorry, this is Accenture focused, but we are promoting our people's talks. So at our booth, not only do we have a digital display that talks about where to find us, but we'll have a postcard that actually has the schedule of everything that we're doing too. So that's kind of what Accenture is doing. And from a marketing perspective for Hyperledger, I think we can probably figure out how else we can continue to drive this talk.
Great. Yeah, I think I imagine that a lot of people are going to be at Dave's talk. So if we can get a pointer from that one to this one, that'll be great. I've got a I've got a talk at 10 a.m. on the first day. When is this one scheduled to go on?
This is on the second day at, I'll find that out, but it's on the second.
Okay, cool. So I can give a, I can give a nod to it during my intro as well.
That would be great. So you're speaking on the first day at 10?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll be highlighting what we're doing. Make sure that we're guiding people to your talk too, Dan.
Oh, great. Yeah. Mine is focused around Avalon and the stuff that we're launching at the Linux Foundation called the Confidential Compute Consortium.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah. And part of the talk is going to be about doing things in open source. And so there's going to be a little bit of a DCI theme to it. So I think a lot of cross-pointing should be appropriate there.
Yeah, for sure. Are you talking about that at the with our team and that and the workshop, or is this something different?
We have a separate Avalon workshop that's on Thursday, I think. And Eugene Yarmush is the one that's running that, but I'll be there to help him.
Okay. Because I'm fascinated with that topic. Very cool.
Dan, are you having like recess at your talk?
I've been thinking in the back of my head, like, what could I do with that? Because the title of my talk is like combining chocolate and peanut butter at the Linux Foundation. So I was kind of thinking, should I throw that out, or would that be too silly? I also thought it'd be funny if I could just eat like a jar of peanut butter during the talk.
Yeah, that's going to work really well.
And I think we should get you guys Skittles for your talk.
Oh, yeah. Taste the rainbow. Okay. Thanks for running through that and coming up with ideas to cross-promote. And now I've got some label that's hanging over the agenda and I can't read it, but it's, so we talked a little bit about the diversity happy hour. Is there anything that we need to discuss about that today?
Only that I'm really hopeful that at least the three of you on the call will participate as moderators.
Sure.
It really isn't a heavy lift. It's facilitating discussions with people at a table, and then just typing in a consensus response to three questions. Now, once we actually have the response, we'll be sorting and voting. But some of that can happen on an app, some of it can happen on a laptop. But we'll provide that material for you. Maybe we can even meet, just before the event, and I can show you kind of what this looks like, but we'll have somebody from Think Tank that will actually be doing the heavy lift, which is getting all of the responses sorted, combining some of the things that look similar. So it might be worded slightly differently, but the meaning is the same, so that we can have a shorter list for people to vote. I don't think this is going to be as big as the first one we did, where we had 220 people. I think mm-hmm. we'll probably have, about half that. So it's manageable, and doing it through kind of the moderated sessions where we're just facilitating dialogue, and the questions are pretty simple. Again, we want to start with what's working really well. What do we want to do more of? What organizations are out there that, that really kind of get this, that we should be aware of? Then, what are things we can improve with the direction that we're not going to, we can't change tax code. We can have the aspiration to influence things like that, but that's not something we can realistically do in 12 months. And that's kind of the goal, is what can we hold ourselves accountable to as a community over the course of the next 12 months. So when we do this again next year, we have a baseline to, you know, upon which to look back and say, you know, we had impact here. We changed behaviors, you know, here. And then the last is kind of, you know, what do we think realistically we can hold ourselves accountable to? Actually, what is the action from this group that we feel comfortable with? And when we first did this, one of the first things that we all agreed to was to do our best as sponsors of events and participants on panels to not participate or at least raise the issue on panels that were just
homogeneous.
Yeah, I was like trying to find that because it's not the right answer. We are actually sponsoring an event at the end of March, and I was floored when they sent me the agenda. It is literally, I'm like, have we learned nothing over the past 3 years? So we've been pushing back on them to say this has to change. Mm-hmm. We're a sponsor, and we're telling you that you need to change the makeup of your panels because we just don't feel comfortable supporting that. So, and that was one of the things that really kind of came to the fore, and Hyperledger definitely took that on board because you know, they too have influence in that space, not only from constructing, because they do so many events and constructing panels, but because, you know, clearly Tracy, you, Brian, others, other leadership were, and Dan, you guys were participating in those panels. So it's something similar to that, you know, there are things that we can capture the aspirational thing. Like, what do we really think would make a huge difference for attracting people into the technology? Whether it's mentoring programs, whatever it might be, it's worth capturing those ideas. But to really, whatever we think is, what can we all as individuals really kind of say, this is something that I am going to be mindful of and do over the course of the next 12 months and hold myself accountable to it.
Great. Okay. Running low on time here, so I'm just going to move us on ahead to the JIRA item. So there was a new contributor that emailed the list about a couple things. One of them was suggesting that we have a JIRA instance that we could submit issues to. And I looked at what's in JIRA right now, and I don't see any other working groups using JIRA. But I wanted to get other people's reactions to that idea.
What's JIRA? Sorry, I'm not familiar with that phrase or that acronym.
It's an issue tracking system.
Oh. Yeah.
So we normally tend to use it for code issues, tracking issues that way. Maybe one of the options that we could consider is actually using task lists within Confluence. I mean, I noticed when I was poking around because I was trying to find something earlier, like under our meeting notes, right, we have these incomplete tasks from meetings at the top of the meeting notes page. But we could, you know, obviously create some sort of task list with action items and assignees and that sort of thing. You know, that way we don't lose it, but it's still available and it's probably more conducive to anybody who wants to participate in the working group.
I think, yeah, I kind of like the task list idea. A JIRA might be a little too over, like too much overhead. Like, I don't think we need that much. The one thing that I don't know if it will bring in a much, motivate more people to use it, but having the ability to submit something anonymously might be good, and I don't think you could do that on JIRA.
Yeah, I'm not sure you can do that on Confluence either.
Sorry, I had to step away there. I had an urgent call. I think JIRA might be a little bit heavyweight since we don't have a lot of issues to track anyway, and if we could use those task lists. I can just respond back to the person on the mailing list and say basically those things that I just said.
Yep.
Okay. Last thing, and then I think my daughter has contracted what I was going through last night, so I gotta find her. So the last thing that we had was that I actually anticipated spending the most amount of time on, but that's okay. We can go through this at our next meeting, or maybe if we all find ourselves at a table at Global Forum, we can start some of this. But I would like us to be able to say at the end of 2020, you know, here's these things that we accomplished, and try to get some milestones out there, because sometimes when we get together, it's kind of trying to figure out, like, waiting for the other person to talk to come up with an idea. But if we've got some big milestones out there, it's easier to form tasks around those and easier to get other people engaged to work towards those things that we've already defined on the calendar. So the first couple things on there, we already obviously have Global Forum and the survey, and there's going to be actions coming out of the survey. And then what I'd like us all to do is come up with other things. What I've linked to there is a list of different diversity dates. So there'll be like Pride Month coming up, for example. Maybe we should do something around Pride Month. We're in African American History Month in February, in the US at least. So sort of a missed opportunity now for us to be able to do something for this year. But those kind of things struck me as these are natural points on the calendar where we could be doing some kind of event.
Agreed. And that drives a natural conversation then that we want to be having with members and the broader community.
So take some time to think, maybe use that list as a starting place to just do some brainstorming on your own. Feel free to come into the mail list or to chat or to this item in the wiki here. Maybe it's even a good place to put some sort of task list or something that you can just, or maybe we should actually create a brainstorming page for different events that we can do. And start putting out some ideas, and then we'll be able to, again, either talk about that at Global Forum or the meeting a couple weeks after that.
That sounds good. Actually, we can use, we can pull this calendar as part of the opening happy hour and get people's sense of, okay, so if we wanted to commit to, as a community, to support particular initiatives, which ones would you be most inclined to, you know, to support, to attend an event, to write a blog, to do something to kind of elevate the discourse around a particular issue?
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Easy to do.
Okay, great. Well, I will leave us with that thought, and thanks to all of you for participating today. And
feel better.
I think we will all see each other on in a week or two.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank
Sounds
you.
Sounds good. Feel better. Hope your daughter feels better too. Yeah, bye, guys.
Bye.